In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. And the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Do you ever wonder if this stuff is true? A guy named John the Baptist out there in the middle of the desert, quoting Old Testament prophecies, while thousands of people who'd traveled miles and miles from the nearest town surround him in rapt attention? Do you wonder if this really happened? Take a look at this. In the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar, you know, the Romans kept pretty good records. If you wanted to verify exactly what year this was, you could do it. It mentions Pontius Pilate and Herod and Philip and a guy named Lysanias. It tells us where these guys were rulers. It even mentions Annas and Caiaphas, who served as high priests at the temple in Jerusalem. Caiaphas's home was discovered some time ago in an archaeological dig in Jerusalem, along with his bones from his coffin. These were real people and real historical events. This is a true story, which makes this story even more bizarre. Why would all those people stream out from their comfortable homes into the desert to listen to a guy who screams and verbally abuses them? "You brood of vipers! You snakes! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And then after listening to that, they let this guy baptize them. In fact, that's what they came for. So what is it that they were really after? What deep need did John's baptism fulfill in these people? In 1982, Leonid Brezhnev died. Until his death, and for the previous 18 years, he'd been the first secretary of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union, a position equivalent to president in the United States. The Soviet Union was an officially atheist state, aggressively atheist. In fact, no public displays of religious faith were tolerated. None at all. It's hard for us to imagine, but public indications of faith in God were cause for arrest. And there was never any indication in the life of Leonid Brezhnev that he was a man of faith, or that he even so much as pondered the possibility that there was a God up there who had created this universe. He was a proud communist, and part of that identity was a denial of God. That's why at his funeral, just before the lid of his casket closed for the final time, for those who noticed, it was shocking to see Leonid Brezhnev's wife make the sign of the cross over his dead body. Later, a Western journalist asked her about her gesture. What did it mean? Why did she do it? She said when she stared down at the corpse of her husband, she hoped that he'd been wrong about religion. She hoped that if Jesus was the world's redeemer, that there would be mercy enough even for her husband. She hoped that somehow, some way, there would be forgiveness, even for him, even for her. Mercy, forgiveness, reconciliation, to be forgiven and accepted by God. That's why people flocked to John the Baptist, despite his gruff, eccentric nature. He was baptizing those who recognized their own sinfulness, those who saw themselves as they really were, those who hungered and thirsted for God's acceptance. So it wasn't the righteous who flocked to John the Baptist. It was those who recognized their own unrighteousness. And that's who God is seeking. Here's a great example of this from Luke 18, the story that Jesus told of the esteemed Pharisee and the hated tax collector. The Pharisee was a man of great stature. He was well respected in the community for his devotion to God and his professional attainments. The tax collector, on the other hand, was despised, and for good reason. He was a self-serving traitor who collected taxes from his fellow Jews, and the money went to the hated, occupying Romans. To make it even worse, all tax collectors regularly collected more than required and pocketed the excess. Who wouldn't hate someone like that? So Jesus told the story of the esteemed Pharisee and the hated tax collector who went to the temple to pray. The Pharisee prayed like this: "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. And I especially thank you that I'm not like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all I get." End of prayer. Then it was the tax collector's turn. He beat his chest in an expression of contrition and wouldn't even dare lift his eyes up to heaven. And he prayed like this: "God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner." End of prayer. The shocking punchline to this story Jesus told was this: I tell you the truth. It was the sinful, hated tax collector, not the self-righteous Pharisee, who went home justified, forgiven and accepted by God. We just read in Luke 3 where John the Baptist said, "Don't even begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father." As if to say, we're not so bad. We have no need for forgiveness and repentance. "Don't even go there," said John the Baptist. Even Mrs. Brezhnev recognized her husband's and her own desperate